Welcome to Metal Waveform.
Hey, and welcome to another episode of Bullcrap and Nonsense. I'm Daru Metal, and you're listening to Mel Brain Fart with me and my good friend on the other line, that is Bru Thunderhead. How's it going, man?
Yeah, I'm doing fine, actually. I've actually been out doing a little bit of extra work today, as a matter of fact.
Wow.
I've recently started out doing some... kind of the thing you do, except I don't have a moped and I only deliver like whatchamacallit, is this even a thing? And I don't deliver the papers or the letters, but I deliver like
commercial
what do you call it even in English? I don't know.
Advertising or whatever, commercial shit. Is it Svensk Direkt Reklam, man?
Yeah, it's one of those. I'm not gonna go out with a particular name, but
yeah,
there are several. But it's one of those kinds of things, because I need a little bit of extra cash, and quite frankly, I don't have too much to do during the day other than, you know, doing prep for the show. Not really though. But.
Doing the prep, yeah, right.
But man, it's been hell of a time since we did an episode. I mean, for you guys out there, there's obviously been a bit of a... I mean, I've been what should I say? A bit of a empty period. And I mean...
As usual.
Yeah, I mean, it's not what we want to do, but I mean, it's happened, unfortunately. And I wanted to check out with you, because you were... pretty busy last week. What have you been up to?
Oh man, first of all, the last week when we released the episode, actually, no, we released this week. We're supposed to release last week. It was pretty much a lot of work. After that Friday, we have a birthday party at mine. I basically go in, passed out very early. Start drinking heavily without eating anything the whole day.
Ooh.
And Saturday after the gig we have like what was after party at mine, fucking shit. And we stay till Sunday around 11-12 during the day, and that's why I couldn't edit the show. But even when I edit the show, still sounds like crap, the last episode.
Yeah,
so sorry.
Yeah, we had a bit of a situation there, because I edited it the first time, and I mean, it sounded fine. The problem is, I mean, some parts sounded out of sync, while other parts sounded like in sync.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think the problem was that we talked over each other a bunch, so that made it hard. I don't know, because I haven't had that experience editing other episodes. And
No.
And for those of you who don't know, when we do our show, we basically record our own tracks, you know, at our... I mean, Daru is recording his track at his place in his program, and I do likewise. And then we basically put these tracks together. And I mean, like I said, it's weird, because up until that episode, it's never been a problem at all. It's actually pretty
actually
easy.
Actually, there was one time when we again was not synchronized the track, but it was way easy for me to edit, because at that point I edited the show, and it was very easy to edit because... we didn't talk so much one over, and I have time to hear it. Because at the last episode, basically, we spoke together almost the whole episode.
Yeah, I think we were a little bit too eager or something, I don't know. But it was a fun subject, I think. We both had a lot to say. It wasn't like... one of those episodes where I basically run out of steam and then there's like fucking nothing to talk about. But here we basically had how long was this? I think it was at least 90 to 100 minutes, maybe
it
more.
It was about usual an hour and 45 minutes, something like this.
Yeah, I mean that hasn't really been the usual. I mean, we've been doing like 2 hour shows sometimes, or 2.5, but
Yeah, but from the beginning, basically all of our episodes finish around 1 hour and 40 minutes. So
yeah, but I don't know about that that trio episode. There's something cursed about the number 3, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Probably we need to revisit at one point this episode, because I think it sucks even more than our first episode.
Yeah.
The toilet one.
Yeah, I think we're going to have to really do some talking about what things to revisit and actually go back. And I think I actually have to go back and listen to a couple of episodes to see if there's something we'll have to revisit or not, because, you know, like I always say, I don't remember what I say. You know, on the show,
it's
like taking a shit. I remember doing it, but hey, I've done that analogy so many times, it's getting a little bit tired, but whatever.
And a lot of time we was drunk, so. And today, I'm still not drinking. Actually, it's Friday, and this time we recorded earlier. Surprise, surprise.
By the way, why are you home so early? Because when I messaged you, I was actually finished with the district.
Well, yesterday I have a really, really bad case of diarrhea. Basically, almost the whole day I spent in a fucking toilet, man, and I couldn't go to work. And I just called sick, and till today I was like, oh, fucking, I need to go to a fucking toilet and blow the fucking stool.
So in your line of work, that's a good reason to stay home sick, I guess, because you know, being on a moped or like fucking running through houses and two houses and shit with shit.
Not only that, but sometimes with this case of diarrhea, you can just sniff, coughing or sneeze, and you can shit yourself.
Oh man,
it happened to me. It happens.
Yeah, well, I mean, sometimes, you know, you can't just hold it in, I guess.
Yep.
But
one more thing, I'm actually recording to another PC. Hopefully it's a little bit better without lag and whatever, because you know, I have some stationary computer and with problem, and basically it was the fucking RAM card, and I ordered like 2-3 hard drives, and finally I removed one of the RAM stick, and now it's working fine. Even I play some video games.
All right, that's pretty cool.
Yep.
Yeah. So, speaking about, I need to. Is your computer powerful enough to update to Windows 11?
I don't know. I don't care.
Because my computer isn't. Because Windows 11 is the new shit right now, apparently. And the thing is, with the new OS, there's like, you know, they want to be way safer than all the other OSs. So therefore,
yeah, right.
You gotta have like a fucking, basically you need like a buffed up fucking gamer PC to run Windows 11 or something, which is fucking weird.
Well, our computer, actually, it's a gaming computer, but old school gaming computer.
You're talking about mine or yours, or
the both of us?
Yeah, both. Yeah, definitely. I would say my computer is on the PS3 level, maybe, on the graphics side. But
same. I mean, I can definitely run Quake 4 and Witcher 1 without problem. But anyway, it's
Witcher
not a computer.
1. Yeah, that's a fucking.
Actually, I just played Witcher. I finished Quake 4 and played some Witcher 1 before we start to recording. So
fuck, I actually have it on Steam. I have actually 1 and 2, but I haven't played I only played like Witcher 1 for like 20 minutes or something. It was okay, okay. But yeah, whatever. Shall we get on to the usual
prick of the week?
Prick of the week. So do you want to start out or?
Yep, it's usually, you know, I'm going with Oldie but Goldie or some thrash metal or whatever bullshit. But today, surprise, surprise, it's going to be black metal. And it's not very new, but it's not very old album. It's Kvaen, a Swedish black metal band, with their debut album from last year, The Funeral Pyre.
Right.
I saw them last week at Frax Mangel. Usually I'm gonna mention the club.
Of course. Of course we do. Yeah. We're the official.
Yep.
Yeah.
And actually after we're recording this shit I need to clean and go to fucking party there and play some music, but yeah, it's Kvaen black metal, but it's not this raw type of black metal like fucking Mayhem and whatever bullshit.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a mixture of it has a little bit of a Viking element to it.
Yeah, Viking black metal at one point, even thrash I can hear, and it was a very weird combination, but I like it. And there actually that was their first show last week, and this week again I'm on two black metal bands. First is Burning Darkness or whatever Darkness Burning, and tomorrow is Wolf's Cross anyway. And I have also bonus single of the week. It's the new single from our friends Eternal Evil. They release a new video, Curse of the Sphinx, Revenge of the Sphinx, or something like this. I don't remember the name of the song.
Yeah, I checked it out a little bit before we got on the show, and yeah, it's fucking kick ass.
Terror of the Sphinx.
Is that the break music for this episode, by the way?
No, but we can do it. I guess.
Do you think do you think they're okay with that? Because I think it would be sweet.
Otherwise, if not this week, probably next week we're gonna see. Because I can figure out. We have also.
Well,
our,
I'm not going to release this episode today, by the way, either. So I mean, if you see those guys this weekend, you know.
Well, we need to release the episode till Monday anyway. So.
Yeah, yeah.
But
well,
we have some trucks in the waiting line, so it's not a problem.
Yeah,
we
okay.
can figure out.
Yeah, okay, whatever. Yeah, do you have something to add to that?
Well, check Kvaen, the Funeral Pyre, and Eternal Evil, the Terror of the Sphinx. Actually, the Terror of the Sphinx reminds me of old school Sepultura, sort of, a little bit. Yeah, but that's their style anyway. And also they supposed to release their new album on I don't know exactly the date, but this month. So I'm I can't wait to hear it, the whole album.
Oh, it's coming out this month. All right.
Yeah, like Exodus is coming on 19th of November.
All right. That's cool. Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to that, to see the full length thing.
Yeah, because I know probably the vinyl edition is going to come next year, because all that vinyl pressing is totally busy.
Oh yeah, I can imagine.
But yeah, all right. So that's my prick of the week.
All right, cool. Well, I was thinking about maybe doing Running Wild's new album, but I'm actually going to do Thundering Alone on that one very soon.
All right.
So it's going to be a special episode, and I'm going to go through that like I did with Senjutsu. So look forward to that. But
Shit Jitsu.
Yeah, well, we'll see about that. Well, yeah, I haven't really been listening to anything other than that album recently. The Running Wild album, that is, not Senjutsu, but
well, probably can be your pick of the week, and
I have a pick of the week because I haven't been listening to music like I usually don't do. I'm a co-host of a music podcast and I don't listen to music, but I do play a lot of video games. So my pick of the week is the soundtrack to the video game EVE 5, Kefin, Lost Kefin, what? Kingdom of Sand, it's called, on the Super Nintendo. I've been playing that game a lot, and it has great music, and yeah.
Okay.
That's basically it. Yeah, what can I say? Well, yeah, it's 16-bit music, and yeah, I like it. And yeah, that's basically my pick of the week. But like I said, you know, there's a Thundering Alone coming soon. I don't know. I'll record it here in this weekend, I think, but we'll see. It'll probably be out sometime after this episode.
Probably. That's cool.
Yeah, so yeah, that was it.
Well, today we don't have any fucking topic, man.
Yeah. And that was kind of by design, because it's been a while since we have done this. So I was just figuring out.
Actually, we can do some topics here and there. And like I mentioned you last week, we can do topic for.
The topic today is a little bit talk about what you have on your mind, basically. I mean.
Speaking nonsense.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking that, you know, I mean, I didn't have any ideas, really. I mean, for a proper show, when I didn't feel like doing the, because I actually put a little bit of a time into doing this, you know. I mean, even though it sounds like we don't put in time to what we do, we actually do. We do our research, and it takes a little bit of time, and you know, this last couple of weeks, you know, I haven't really been inspired to do anything.
Don't listen to him. He do researches. I just drinking.
Yeah, well, I mean, drinking has been happening too, but I mean.
Yeah, and also to commit two or three hours, depend how long it's gonna be the episode, because the people basically hear between 1.5 hour till 2.5 hour, depends how long is the episode. But basically we speak a little bit more, around 1 hour more than it's recorded. Yeah. So again, it's a vacation of time, and
vacation time.
Dedication.
I was like, hey, it's vacation time. I was like, yeah.
I wish.
Fuck yeah, I wish.
Yeah. Man, I need 2.5 years paid vacation.
Oh man, that would be sweet.
Yep.
Well, I basically have vacation anyway, because I don't really have a job at the moment. So, but it's like vacation without money, which is like pretty shit.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, you know how it feels. But yeah.
Fuck.
Do you have any interesting stories from? Because I was thinking we've always been doing subjects and shit, and there hasn't really been time for heavy metal story time. And I'm thinking you've been doing a lot of DJing and shit. I mean, has there been moments, funny moments?
No, right now it's very normal stuff, but also I don't want to tell a story, because my story is not so for the public eye than for the private people that know me, so...
Oh, really? No? That sounds awful.
Yeah.
I mean, let me interview you a little bit, I guess. I'm going to ask you a bunch of questions, and I want you to answer them immediately. Who is your daddy, and what does he do? No, I'm just kidding.
My daddy is somewhere in Sofia. I don't know him, and he can suck my shit.
Yeah, well, whatever. I was just referencing Arnold Schwarzenegger there. So, I mean,
well, but, I give you an answer to the question. But you ask, I answer.
Yeah, but whatever. I'm just thinking, you know. I mean, is there like a request for a particular song that you get a lot? Like, I mean, I can guess a couple, I suppose. That would
not a particular song, but particular band, and it's from Mickey. That is one of the promoters of the club, and that's Slayer or Slayer is most of the time he won't, because it's his favorite band. Yeah, I know your, but besides Slayer, now the people will just like what I'm playing. Sometimes they ask for a song or two, but it's not like repeatedly every time. Can you play this song? Can you play this song?
Oh fuck!
So
the different but, shit all the time.
Yeah, but now it's a little bit easy and shitty as well, because like I said before, my hard disk blow, so I'm using Polish shit, and it's easy to play a song what they want, but it's not easy for me, because I must also play their song. But what I, for example, if I have a band that I want to play and write, for example, Wild Pussy Ready to Strike, you cannot find it, and I have it on my fucking computer.
Excuse the fuck, what? What did you say? What did you say the band was called?
The band is called Wild Pussy Ready to Strike.
Wild Pussy.
Yeah, I talk about that when we didn't release the episode of New Wave of British Heavy Metal.
What the fuck? I haven't ever. What the fuck? Oh.
Yeah, they are from UK. They have one demo, I think, and one EP.
I was having a beer, a non-alcoholic one. And just as you said, Wild Pussy, I think I accidentally got some fucking beer from my nose. Shit. But they, okay, so you're saying, were they like an old school new wave of...
Yeah, their demo is like 86 or 88. I'm just gonna check on my fucking smart box. But they have like one demo and one EP from UK. Fuck. oh, fuck.
All right. One EP.
Yeah, actually, it's a really nice band. It's like heavy thrash, sort of.
Well, I don't doubt it. I just thought the name was kind of funny. So some dude,
and actually,
so some dude came up to you like...
Okay, I forget
your...
about that.
What?
No, I played because it's a not so popular band. And you know, I have so many bands in my sleeve. But yeah, demo, they have a demo 87 and the EP is 88 Mechanarchy. The cover of the demo is of the EP actually reminds me of Virtue a little bit, the band Virtue. But
right.
They are actually active from 86 to 91 with this name, and they changed it 91 to 95 as Religion, and they split up.
Well,
with the Religion, they have one album that is The Dark Carnival from 84.
So they went from Wild Pussy to be called
Religion.
Religion.
Yep.
That's that's fucking hilarious. I mean,
yep.
I mean, not really, but kind of. I mean, it's not the goofiest name I've heard when it comes to band names. I mean, I guess that could be. Maybe it could be an episode for the future, like ridiculous band names, maybe. But I don't know. I mean, just Google grindcore band names, and then you'll find like a list of crazy.
Yeah, from Bulgaria have like a couple menstrual cocktail or FBI fecal body incorporation or a dead horse from UK from US.
And of course, anal cunt. You can't forget about those guys.
Yeah.
Which is like the only... That's probably like the only grindcore band that I like. And that's not because of the music, but because of their funny song titles. Like, this fucking... What is it? I think it's like All Our Fans Are Gay or something. Where it's,
I don't know.
The song is just about that. That they think their fans suck. And they're lame because they buy all their CDs and vinyls.
Yeah, it's
and
normal, man.
Singles. And yeah.
I mean, come on. How stupid you supposed to be to buy the whole discography when they have like one song that sounds like...
They sound more like... basically, but...
Well, same shit.
Which is why it's better. I mean, grindcore is... There are many weird bands in that genre, and none of them are particularly good.
Yeah, actually, they're more like a porno grind.
Yeah, oh my god, that also sucks.
Man, grind, they have... in the grind genre, they are like fucking trash or some are... subgenres that have a million subgenres like power trash, pizza trash, skate trash, crossover trash, namajkati vputkata trash.
I thought skate trash and crossover was basically the same.
Pretty much.
I mean, there's different definitions, I guess, but fuck. Crossover, yeah. I kind of like, actually. There's a couple of good ones.
Yeah.
Municipal Waste. What's this?
There was DRI.
Yeah, they're good too. And there was this other. Not. What the fuck?
Iron Oregon.
Yeah, well, they're kind of crusty a bit.
Yeah, because Iron Oregon is basically members of Municipal Waste.
Yeah, and they are doing a little bit of a crust thing, but
yeah,
I haven't listened too much to them because I'm not really. I mean, crust is okay, I think. It's sort of like, I don't know. It sounds like shittily played metal. I don't know. if you catch my drift, I'm not saying that's a bad thing to play metal. I mean, it has a charm, you know, if you're trying to play your. Play something good, but you play it badly. I mean, at least you're trying, I guess. I don't know.
Definitely, it's better than all that grind style.
Oh, fuck yeah. I definitely agree. I mean, I actually had a period when I was like a teenager. I tried to get into grindcore, and but I actually found a Japanese band, which was pretty good, actually. A grindcore band. It was called Morbid Axe. But they basically played... I mean, it was a little bit more comprehensive. It was a little bit more like death metal, really, than grindcore.
Yeah, but me and a friend of mine, we was... he showed me a new district. And he played one song, I don't remember from which band, and he was like... Hey man, what type you gonna put that song? And I was like, death metal. Yeah, cause nowadays there is the styles is so blurry and so meshed between each other, and you barely can put a straight genre to some band. Like now you have fusion Swedish death metal inspired by Norwegian black metal with a, I don't know, with a grindcore elements.
That sort of sounds like dissection. I mean, melodic death metal with black metal elements, that's basically dissection. I mean,
dissection is classic death metal, man.
Yeah, I mean, if we're talking about the same...
No, wait. You speak about Dissection. I was thinking about Dear Sight.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, there's a lot of D words in
it. Yeah.
So I mean, it's easily to. No, I was when yeah, that was just a thought that popped into my head. Fuck, maybe that's something I can do in the future in on Thundering Alone also, like doing Dissection, or maybe I should get a guest, because there's a lot of people that like. I know.
Yeah,
I
mean. And they don't like Rankios, and I like Rankios. I don't know, with these black metal bands, I like more the new production, I guess. Sounds like a poser, probably I am, but you can suck my shit.
I understand. And in a way, I, you know, here's the thing. I think the music in the earlier days were better, but the production was shit. But now the production on the newer stuff is good, but the music isn't like, isn't really hitting home when it comes.
Yeah, I mean, like I said before, I've been in those type. I listen to metal like almost 28 years. Actually, it's more than 28. Doesn't matter. I started to listen rock music and metal when I was between 4 and 7. So I listen a lot of music. And, you know, sometimes when I grow up a teen, I started to listen a little bit black, more thrash and heavy. And when I start to try to listen black metal, you know, there is the old school black metal like Mayhem, Satyricon. But I never became a fan of those bands. For Mayhem, till today I cannot listen Mayhem. But Satyricon, when they release, fuck, I forget the name of the album, with the single of King.
Yeah,
then it clicked for me, and I started to listen first the newer stuff, and then I came back to their discography and start to like the old school stuff as well. The same was with Dark Throne. I start to listen with I forget the name of the album. Fuck Off and Die is the single from there. That is more punkish. They released it around 2006-07.
Are you talking about Satyricon still, or
And Dark Throne? So I started to listen from their latest album back in the days, 2007-2008, and then I start to like as well more old school stuff.
But you were talking about Satyricon that time. I was a little confused.
Satyricon King, from which album is?
I mean, you were talking about this punkish song. What was that? I didn't catch.
No, punkish is Dark Throne.
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah, well, that's fun that you mentioned it, because I mean, I've been checking out a little bit of that, you know, later stuff.
Actually, Dark Throne, the album that I speak is Fuck Off and Die, the same title as their single.
Yeah, the one that I listened to a little bit was Circle the Wagons, which a lot of people hate, but I kind of like it. You know, it has that punk influence.
I didn't check this album, but
I mean, this band has like a million records, so I mean, it's I basically just picked one that I liked the cover of, and I was, yeah, this is pretty cool, and then I haven't really checked out anything else.
Because the underground resistance, a lot of people hate.
Yeah, well, it's like the later stuff, it seems, but that's always the case with black metal. I feel like that.
Yeah,
because
they sell out, man. They're not true anymore.
Yeah, I mean that's classic though. But it seems like a lot of these fucking Norwegian bands has always done something weird in their later career. I mean, either they become too commercial, or they've become like doing like a weird combination like Dark Throne did, or there's one particular band that I was into a while. Have you heard about Ulver?
Just his name.
the thing was, they only released, like, their first record was, I think, no, their first record was, it wasn't really raw black metal. It was basically like folk-induced pagan black metal sort of a thing. Bergetatt, I think it was called. That was a good record. But they basically, hey, how's it going?
Good. Just put again the telephone on the, because I just moved to take some drinks.
Okay. Are you still recording or?
Yeah, I'm recording, man.
Okay.
I just turned my phone, but because I'm with a wired set, that's why.
Okay. Whatever. I lost my train of thought. Ulver. Yeah. So after they released their first album, they sort of like released two albums following that, and one album was like extremely raw, badly produced black metal, and the other album was like an entirely folk album. Like, they basically took apart the two distinct pieces from their first album, you know what I'm saying? And then made like individually. And then after that, they just became like an avant-garde pop band or something.
That remind me a little bit of Eliminator. They started as a black thrash and then became something bullshit. I don't know. Even
Eliminator. I don't think there's like a million Eliminators.
Their first album is Breaking the Wheel.
Okay, I think I found them here on the archives. Yeah, they thrash metal early, speed slash thrash slash experimental later. So I guess they started to incorporate weird shit.
Two sounds like shit.
Yeah, you're straight to the point. They started.
I mean, after the second album, I think they start to suck very badly.
Yeah, strangely enough, the second album has like no reviews. But I mean, which one? I don't know which one is the second, because they released two albums in 1 year, apparently.
Yeah, I right now I cannot search because I'm rolling a cigarette, man.
Yeah, but basically in 2011 they released two albums, and the Broken Hearted Balladeers and the one they were waiting for. That's what it's called, literally. The one they were waiting for.
I think the one they waiting for was the shitty one. I don't remember. I listened just to the Breaking the Wheel. Anyway.
Yeah, well, that interesting. Well. Oh man, I'm checking out the Metal Archives page here, and I mean, the vocalist, guitarist, or whatever, he calls himself the prophet, Dr. Ayatollah Monkey. What the fuck? And there's been like, they've had like some funny names in their past members here. One guy, a drummer called Barbarian, another drummer called Samus, like from Metroid.
Anus.
And Sight Igor. The Kid. This one I like. Thai Christ. You know, Thai like Thailand. And
But the first album, the cover, obviously our listeners cannot see the cover. It's a remind me of one Serbian band, Nadi Mač.
Oh, dude, this is a classic thrash metal album cover here.
With the clowns.
Is it Ed... Is it Repka? Let me see here.
Nah, I'm not sure about Repka.
Oh, no, dude, it is Ed Repka that I did this one.
Okay.
That, I mean, he's basically like fucking thrash metal Derek Riggs.
Yeah, but check Nadi Mač on Metal Archives.
Excuse the what?
Nadi Mač. I'm going to send you as a SMS right now. And check their covers. It's basically almost the same as as Eliminator.
Yeah, I'm just
write this one on the Metal Archives.
Did you send me on Facebook? Or?
No, it's SMS.
Oh, okay, it took a little while. Let's see here. What
it's
can I'm having issues.
It's a it's a Serbian band, huh?
I'm finding it. I'm finding it. Yeah, it wasn't okay. Nadi Mac. What does that
Nadi
mean?
Nadi Mac. I don't have any fucking idea.
It's just an invented word. They were like, ah, Nadi Mac.
Pretty much.
So how are you doing today? Ah, Nadi Mac.
Because, for example, their first EP, Metal Jerat, that's mean metal is war in Serbian language.
Metal Jerat, okay, here we go. Metal is war and... Okay, I see what you mean with... because the other cover, the Eliminated one, had clowns on it. And
yeah,
here we have a
that's why.
Vaguely familiar-looking clown. This is an ugly fucking cover. But I like it. It looks like something... I don't want to be mean to the artist, but it looks like something, you know, a high schooler did in art class.
Dude, check their album from 2011. It's great. It's okay. Way better.
Okay.
It's more like a Repka.
Which one? Oh god.
По краткому поступку.
Okay, поступку. Okay. This is cool. But they're going with they're doing the clown thing. Okay.
Yep.
Somehow it doesn't really feel that original to me. I mean,
I don't know, man.
I'm just thinking, you know, thrash metal album covers with clowns. I mean, I've seen that what was that band called? Havoc, I think. Their first album, World Circus. I mean, so but it's basically
no, it's
like
Toxic. Toxic.
Oh, Toxic. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I always mix them up. Toxic. Yeah. But Havoc is a good band too. So haven't been listening to them in years, but they're nice.
It was with K, not with C. Havoc.
Sorry.
It was with K, not with C. Havoc, because I was searching for Havoc with C.
Yeah, I was. Oh. I think it's with K.
Yeah, it's with K. But from which country they was?
I think they're American.
I find it because there's a million Havoc as well.
Yeah, I see. I'm I'm sorry about that. But I think. Wait a minute. Where am I? Am I stupid? Have I?
Yes.
They're like, what the fuck? Okay, what? Yeah, okay, I found the one. The one from Denver.
Yeah, they don't have with the clowns. It's Toxic that you feel.
That exactly. But I mixed up Havoc with Toxic. But I think, don't they spell Toxic with a K as well? I think that's the reason why I mixed them up.
I think so.
But, I can... speaking about Havoc,
Technical Speed US, with K, that's why. Yeah. And World Circus is 87, the classic album.
Yeah, well, speaking about Havoc, by the way, their album Conformicide from 2017, I remember listening to it when it came out, and I really, really liked it.
Oh, yeah, for me, Havoc is like under the radar. I know them. I know they're very popular, but okay.
I mean, they are sort of the kind of band that, you know, it's just the kind of band that I would like. It's basically a band that everyone says like, oh yeah, they're okay. Not the best thrash band, but they're okay. And I fucking love them. No, so there we go.
They have a lot of fan base. A huge fan base, so it's
do
normal,
they?
Man.
Well, I guess I don't hang around thrash people that much. I guess I don't know. But I've always gotten the feeling that, you know, no one cares for them. But I mean, I think it's worse for Eliminator, though, because, I mean, they only had, like, one good record, it seems.
Yeah, because some of those bands is, like, under the radar, and basically, I don't know, but for me, Havoc, for me, it's under the radar, but I know they're very popular. Also, this band, Kryzix.
Yeah, that one I haven't checked out, actually.
I don't know. I'm not so much into this new wave of thrash metal.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm. Well, I mean, okay. Why? Why aren't you into the new wave? Can you explain?
I don't know. No fucking idea, man.
It just doesn't jazz, or.
Yeah, they didn't make me hard. No. I mean, they have some good bands, for example, Angelos of Patridia from Spain and Suicidal Angels, but again, I refound them because I know them back in this way, and they basically started around 2007-8 to became a popular band. And from 2010, for example, till last year, I totally forgot about these bands.
Yeah, that can happen too. I mean,
and they are most good band for me from this new wave of thrash metal.
Yeah.
Also Nervosa, but Nervosa, they're too big, and basically you cannot forget about them.
But Nervosa has sort of been around before that new wave anyways, so I mean, I don't know which, I mean, how many fucking new waves of thrash metal has there been? I mean, I remember the one around 2007 or 8 or...
Yeah.
But is there there sort of was a one, like, not too long ago, right? Or is there one going now, or am
what?
I mean, is there like a new wave of thrash, or am I just retarded?
No, but anything from 2007 I basically counted as a new wave of thrash metal.
Oh, okay, I see. So but
this new sound, new school sound that they have, for example, Warbringer or Municipal Waste is one of the good band that I like, and but once again, they are too big to forget about them.
And it always sort of seems like a lot of those new wave bands are trying to do somewhat of a Municipal Waste kind of thing. I think there was one band that Killman showed me. What was it called? Gamma Bomb, and it basically sounded like a. It was okay, but you know, it didn't do anything.
They have one or two songs that reminds me a little bit of the vocals remind me a little bit of Schmier from Destruction.
Yeah, maybe I just remember it being kind of decent. I mean, I don't want to hate on that band because it's not bad. It just doesn't do anything for me, and.
Yeah, hey man, I think we can go and smoke one beer and drink one cigarette.
Or what is it that Municipal Waste said? Drink weed and smoke beer, I think they had. Like lyric in a song that said that. But yeah, we can go on a little break and we'll play something during the break.
Yeah.
Be right back.
Probably Violator. Yep,
yeah. Probably. Be right back.
Hello, I'm Cane from Violator, the Italian bastards. We are listening to Metal Frankfurt.
Sono innocente come Dio sulla croce. We'll be right back.
we're back once again with our sorry. God damn.
You're trying to die?
No, I fuck.
In this episode you can hear how Bru die.
I had something what we Swedes call having a crow in your throat, which basically means that you have something thick and gooey in your throat. And damn, yeah, it's gone. I'm fine. But yeah, we're back again with our somewhat bullshit, somewhat topical episode. We talked about grindcore and thrash metal and the new wave of new thrash metal or whatever,
and black metal as well,
and a little bit of black metal. So for the second hour, we're gonna pull something out of our magical hat or our magical ass, be that as it
probably may. it's gonna be from my magical ass that is shitting so much.
Yeah, man.
But do you know what is funny? I didn't watch so much metal channels in YouTube for a while, and you remember before 2 or 3 weeks we released one episode that was about shitty albums by good bands.
Yeah, that was a fun one to do, somewhat.
Yeah, and now I saw on YouTube there is a trend or whatever. 10 worst album that is not Saint Anger.
Is it the title of the video? Like,
yeah, yeah. And it's not just one guy, it's like trend. A lot of male community in YouTube start this and this and this and this.
So that's a trend now that, okay.
Yeah.
We're gonna do like a top 10 list that is not Saint Anger.
I mean, we already done a lot, and after a couple of days when we upload the episode, I just saw that and was like, what the fuck, we went to that trend without knowing.
we sort of started out in, I mean, if we had done like a top 10 list, then it would have been like fucking scary. This is what they call like synchronicity, I guess, you know, when you...
Yeah, it was like what you have in your collection, not speaking about albums that you don't own, for example.
Oh, in a collection, oh man.
Yeah.
That wouldn't work for me.
Well, in my collection, probably I can take 5 stinky album. Actually, I already read of.
Fuck, I don't.
It was because most of the albums that is stinkers in my collection, I didn't bought it. It's just some free copy somehow in my collection. And there was one vinyl. I even don't remember the name of the band. That sounds like a fucking Cradle of Filth.
All right. Yeah. Well, fuck. I mean, I'm gonna have to. I have my fucking huge, huge ass box with vinyls and CDs, and which I haven't checked out in like 2 years, maybe. So I'm gonna have to go.
Since you moved.
Yeah, and I haven't really gotten myself like a proper shelf. I don't have a good shelf for like vinyls or CDs, which is. But then again, I neither have like a vinyl record player or a CD player that works, so I mean, I don't really have a reason to have them displayed anyways, so I'll see in the future when I get my hands on proper equipment, maybe.
Ah, proper equipment, that's like a wet dreams.
But I at least remember, you know, doing, because you were talking about, you know, I mean, shitty albums, sometimes you like buy something on impulse when you're at a record store. You know, you see an album cover and you're like, okay, this is like $1, I'll check it out, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like I told you, most of the albums I don't know even how they came to my collection.
But I might be able to do, but I think for a long time I've been like basically when I buy records, I only buy them if they're good. So I don't.
Same for me, or that I know the band and I know what to expect. The only that I bought recently, it's that I didn't know the band and whatever, it was some band that play in Freax Mangio. And because I'm earlier there, I can, for example, hear the sound check, or after that, of course, to see the band, and then I buy the record. But
yeah,
that's it. And again, I'm quite a little bit familiar what to expect of the band. So
yeah, I mean that's the usual thing you do. I mean, if you see a band live and it's good, then you buy the record. I mean that's what you do, I guess.
Yeah.
But that would be hard for me, but thank God. I mean, paying for shit music. I mean, is there anything worse than that? I don't know. I mean, maybe if there's like, you know, if you have like, if you're a insane collector and you need everything, you know, of, you know, what a particular band has done, you know, maybe then.
Man, even because I have some vinyls of mine, and yeah, someday I'm gonna collect everything except the last shit they released.
Yeah, when I watched, like, I've been watching a lot of Razor Fist. I think he's fucking great. And when he does his like Metal Mythos videos, I'm really surprised. He has like, you know, when he rips an album, a new asshole or something, he sits there with like a physical copy of it most of the time. He's like, okay, you think this album is shit and you're like shitting on it, but you still have it in your collection because you're a collector. I mean, hey, I mean, kudos to you, but I mean, I wouldn't be able to. I'm not a collector. I mean, simple as that. I'm not really that insane about it. I buy shit I like. I don't need like every single pressing of a.
Well, yeah. Well, most of the time I try to collect a lot of shit that I like, and even sometimes I have it, the same album, different copies or on different formats. For example, I have Sodom. Demos that they released, re-released the demos of Sodom on cassette, vinyl, and CD, and I have it on the all three formats.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you like something, then of course. But I mean,
but come on, man, it's a Sodom.
yeah. Well, that's my point. You like it, so therefore, maybe it's.
Yeah.
I mean, fuck. I would. I like cassettes, so I mean, I would. I would definitely get my hands on cassettes of anything.
Yeah,
I like. I saw like a couple of months back they released all of Burzum's records on cassette, like a big ass fucking collection, all of his releases on cassette. I was like, man, I want that. I really want that.
I'm really keen to buy the fucking box set of Judas Priest.
Oh, that 50 year. Oh yeah. That was pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, it's cost almost like 5,000 crowns.
But here's the thing. When I was at Killman's place last time, he actually got that 50 years celebration book, like this huge ass coffee table book, you know, with pictures throughout the years. And I think, do you know if that book is part of that box?
Yes,
it is. Wow,
it is like 50 CD, two huge ass poster, fuck a belt bucket with the razor.
God
just
damn.
This razor belt bucket, and I don't know how it was like the whole discography on the series plus. A lot of live shows.
Yeah, I mean, it must weigh like a fucking ton, because just that book alone, by the way, it's, you know, it's some kind of like photo paper, you know,
yeah.
It's not paper, it's sort of like plastic photo-ish.
Photo paper, yeah, that is heavy as fuck.
Yeah, and that book is like fucking huge, you know, it's sort of like a, you know, like a vinyl record size book. And it's like fucking
thick.
It's like a phone book. Like fucking insane.
Yeah, man. You definitely can kill someone with this book if you throw.
That's why they call it a coffee table book, because you're not supposed to be sitting with it in your lap. You're supposed to have it like on a table, you know.
Yeah,
you're going through the pages.
Back in, like back in the days when you used to go in the library and make researches and shit.
Yeah, it's like it's sort of like one of those like atlases, you know, this map, huge fucking books. It's basically the same. Yeah, it's basically the same. But yeah, I mean, yeah, that collection actually. Fuck, speaking about collection, I remember it was fairly recently when like Century Media released like all of their iSurf records. That's our sign on Century Media. I think it's like from the first one till, I don't know, Horror Show maybe. And they released it in like this cute little, you know, the CDs looked like vinyl records, you know, black and, you know, had the ridges on it and shit.
For example, I some of those re-releases I hate the thing when they do 6 or 7 CDs, for example, I have Testament first 5 CD, mm-hmm. and they re-released it. It was very cheap. I bought like $10 or 100 crowns. And when you take it, it's like basically CD in this single paper bullshit that is like for the radio promo, you know.
Oh man, is it the complete albums 1987-1994?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna check. Okay.
No, the first 5. The Legacy, Practice What You Preach, Source of Black.
I think it is. I mean, it just says the complete albums 1987-1994. I don't know how many albums that is, but
97. Or 87.
1994. Okay, yeah, well, I probably said something wrong, but yeah, it is 1994.
Because you said 97.
So basically from The Legacy to Low, this one. I don't know if...
Yeah.
It was that one.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'll see here. Seems like it says that it only came out, like, digitally, but I guess maybe they did a physical one, and then...
They have a physical, but like I said, it's like this radio promo singles. Oof. You know that they don't have a jewel case and it's like fucking paper.
Oh yeah, that's shitty. But I mean, at least every album is separated, right? Or
yeah, it's separate.
But I mean, okay, how cheap is it? Is it like, does it have the album cover on that paper sleeve or?
Yeah, they have it like paper sleeve with the front cover and the back cover. That's it, and you put it like the vinyl inside. And
man, I actually gotta try to find a picture of this to see how.
I can send you when we finish the recording.
Yeah, we'll see here if I. A little quickly. Whatever, I can't find anything, but I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. I believe it's, but I mean, the collection I talked about with iSurf, Slave to the Dark, it was similar in that regard, but it was, they basically just made mini LPs, which is
okay.
It was very high quality, I must say, so it wasn't, you know, it wasn't like a, you know, a shitty demo paper shit.
Yeah.
It wasn't like that at all. It was like a little bit more elaborate, and it had a booklet. You know, it was sort of like the paper thing opened like two ways, like, you know, like just mm-hmm. like a vinyl record. You know how you have an opening sleeve, and then you have one sleeve where the record goes in, and one where the booklet is in, and then you have some artwork in the middle and pictures and whatever. I thought it was kind of neat.
So basically, it's like a fucking digipack.
Yeah, but you know, flatter.
Mm-hmm.
If you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I kind of looked at that and was like, yeah, that's pretty cool. Oh, holy fuck! This, I totally missed this shit. They made a cassette collection with the four first albums of Iced Earth. Fucking hell.
Dude, if you start to searching for a collecting shit, they release, I think, a cassette box set of first four or six Razor. They released four, or I don't remember how many album from Possessed. They do a lot of this release.
Yeah, it seems like the trend of doing like cassette collections or cassette re-releases is a thing that they're doing now.
Yeah,
I like it. I like cassettes. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, it's not the best format, but fuck yeah, I love it.
I think it's the worst one, but whatever. But I also like it.
It's the worst sounding one, I would agree. But I think it's a convenient, you know, it takes a small amount of space, and I kind of like, you know, I like the format.
I still prefer the vinyl.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the best.
Ultimate.
that's the ultimate one. But if we're talking like CDs or cassettes, then I'm the cassette boy every day of the week, definitely.
I cannot compare, because I like cassette mostly for the nostalgia aspect, but CD is more good for me, because you put on the fucking player and you forget to turn to go out to get up from the couch or whatever you are doing to turn the cassette or whatever, because some of the players or the deck they don't have like automatically switch the site, you know.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that is true, I guess. Well, CD is convenient, I mean, but then again, nothing beats like, you know, digitally. Because then you can put everything you want in like a, you know, seamless playlist and whatever. If you want to listen to five records in a row, I mean, unless you have a like CD, CD, multiple CD deck.
I forget the name. A changer, CD changer.
Exactly.
Because there is some CD changers with 500 CDs inside.
No, those are like the fucking those used to be in like radio stations and shit, right?
I don't know, but I saw it. It's like 500 CDs inside.
No, but
it's crazy.
I think they were like on. I mean, either they were like. I think they were sold to like exclusively to like radio stations or like, you know, discotheques or whatever.
Yeah, but I think you can also. There was also for the mass production. It wasn't just for the. For those types like radio or nightclubs and whatnot.
Yeah.
Whatever.
But then again, what do you need with a fucking 500 500 exchanger switcher or whatever? I mean,
depends, man. For example, like I'm DJing and whatever, it's quite okay if you know I'm SWAT 327. I have this CD, but I'm gonna play a second song of this, and I'm going after that to CD 125 and go and play the fifth song, you know.
Or yes, put it on put it on shuffle and whatever.
Sort of.
I'm tired today. Yes, shuffle.
Yeah, but like we said, it's more. If we speak about the convenience, digital media, it's the best.
Yeah, well, I mean, that goes without saying, I guess.
Yeah, but there is no feeling, man. There's no fucking feeling in that media.
No, I mean, it's the most convenient, but there's no. I mean, like buying digital media, that's like. That feels weird. I mean,
even if you download it again.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. There's no feeling to it. There isn't, and. Yeah. I mean, nothing is. I mean, physical media. It's nice, you know. You have something physical, something to touch. Artwork. You
yeah,
know, that's.
Especially if it's the first press for some classic album, it's a history, as well in your hands.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's true as well.
Like I have. Red vinyl of QMO first press, man. This vinyl is older than me.
that's a little bit insane sometimes when you hold like a record that's that old. I think, you know, fuck, I have a bunch of old like Genesis records on vinyl, and those records are like, I have one
70s.
Selling England by the Pound. It came out in 1973. It's 20 years older than I am. It's like, what the fuck? That's kind of crazy when you think about it. You're holding something that's like, you know, 20 years older than yourself. That's kind of a fucking weird feeling. But
even that, man, I have as well Injustice for All first press. And it's like 33 years, the same year as me. And it's like,
oh yeah,
fuck.
Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, fuck, I'm... Unfortunately, when I was born, CD was basically
taking over. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there wasn't a whole lot of like bands that released stuff on. I don't remember. I mean, Iron Maiden didn't release anything in '93, but they released in '92, Fear the Dark. But I don't know. They did release it on vinyl. They must have, I think. But it must have been like the last for a while.
Even if they continue to release, it wasn't mass production like back in the days. It was something like, okay, we are Metallica, we're going to release Wolf, for example. That's 96. And we're going to release like 10,000 copies on vinyl.
Oh, yeah.
The rest is going to be on the CD.
Were they doing like the exclusivity thing already back then? Because I feel like the 90s was like, I mean, late 90s was basically they didn't do vinyl at all, any band. Generally.
No, they probably, like I said, probably even if they do, they wasn't so much. It was like mostly on cassette and CD. The vinyl was like limited edition to 10,000 because nobody gives a shit about the vinyl anymore.
Yeah, well, I guess.
And if someone wanted just to have some pieces here and there. Because, for example, Metallica that selling millions of copies to release like 10,000 is basically nothing. It's like
that's a very drop limited, in the sea. Very limited release.
It's
so basically
drop in the sea. No, they didn't think it as limited. They just said, we don't need more because nobody gonna buy anymore.
I'm wondering
here. Nobody give a shit.
Ah, okay, I was checking because I was wondering a little bit, like, did they release the Black
Album? I don't know. I just... the Black Album, I think they released on...
And I actually checked it right now. It was was released together with the CD version, but it was on... 2 12-inch vinyls, so it was like a expensive, huge motherfucker.
No, it was it's the same because with the Injustice, I have it Injustice, like I said, and it's two LPs inside. Because you know, with a vinyl, you have a certain amount of time that is not so big as. CD or a cassette.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying, I just think double vinyls overall is heavy, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, that's a personal thing. I don't know. They're not heavy like that, but I mean, I just don't like double vinyls. That's just a gripe I have. When one album is so long that it can't fit on one, you know, record, it's like, what the fuck are you doing?
Because I think Metallica, the first three albums is just one vinyl.
That's correct. But
But Injustice is down, and then I don't know.
Yeah, and I think the rest, and then you know what you said about Load and Reload. It was just exclusive, limited edition shit.
No, basically, like I said, probably back in the days they didn't think it. It's gonna be exclusive. They said, "Who cares anymore for the vinyl? Just press 10,000 if someone still want to buy a vinyl." Because those days the vinyl format was almost dead.
They did actually release it on release day on the 4th of June. They released it on vinyl as well. Load, that is.
Okay.
But I don't know. It probably, I don't know how many, doesn't say
copies.
It doesn't say how many copies it was made in, and I think, who knows? I mean, and who cares? Who cares anyway?
Yeah.
I mean, who the fuck wanna own it on fucking vinyl? I don't know.
I wish.
Ugh. I don't know. It's like that. It's that piss and cum cover. I don't know. I mean, not only is the record like, it's not bad. It's just not good. And
it's a good record, but not for that name.
It's a good country western record. I give you that. But for a Metallica record, nah. But
like I said, it's not for a Metallica man.
And then
but anyway, the last so-called good album is the Black One.
Yeah.
And after that, they tried, but they failed.
But we have talked about it in a previous episode, the Metallica long one. So check that out if you want to know more about how we feel about Metallica, because it's good. We like Metallica. Old Metallica.
Yep.
At least old Metallica, I think.
Yeah, who don't like it? Oh man, what should we talk about? Hey, do you know what? Let's see some concert experience or the bands that make very good or bad impression on when you check it to the live. Doesn't mean you've been there or whatnot, but for example, you saw on DVD. Preferably, if the band played live and you was there.
This is probably a good subject to take as a final thing on this episode, because I probably don't have too much to say about it. it's like impressions I get, positive or negative or. Well, shit. I don't know. I mean, I've actually been. I don't think I've seen a band which have had a bad presence live. Not really. I mean, it's sort of like when you watch a death metal band, you don't want a guy that jumps around and smiles all the time. You know, you sort of want to have like. Five long-haired dudes like looking angry. I mean, that's sort of you know what you want. Maybe
I think for a bad impression, I can count Edguy.
I see what you did there, but yeah, I actually want to hear this. Why did they? I mean,
first of all, yeah, it's not my type of music, but. Come on, man. Tove almost like 90% hug himself, almost making love with himself on the stage. Oh, thanks, not.
I think, you know, it's good that you mentioned Edguy, because I sort of think that it's not really I never seen them live, so I don't know.
I saw them once,
but
and it was more than enough.
The thing is, it's just this thing about them overall. I mean, they are. They say that they are a band that they are a serious band, but they don't take themselves seriously. And yeah, I guess, because I think Edguy is sort of like a joke that's not funny. And they keep doing the same fucking joke over and over again, like it is funny, but it isn't fucking funny. I'm not laughing. I don't think it's funny.
Because definitely they have one or two good songs, but I know they're really big. But the thing is, how the fuck they became so big when they're not so good band?
I mean,
in my experience,
yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think they have one or two good albums, absolutely. But the thing is, I definitely don't see why they became so popular. And the weird thing is, I think the album that, you know, propelled them into stardom, as it were, was this fucking Vainglory Opera album, which is fucking awful. It's fucking awful. It's like a parody of a power metal band. And, you know, for someone like me who consider myself a big power metal fan, I sort of saw it like an insult.
I don't know, man. For example, band like Tankard and whatever, they never been serious, but when they're on the stage, at least their presence is way more serious than that guy. And also, this band, they are a parody of glam metal. What was the
Steel
name?
Panther.
Yeah, but they do it, you know, it's a parody. And it's not like you said, we are a serious band, but we are not acting serious.
Yeah, well, I mean, here's the difference, though. The joke that Steel Panther is doing is actually working, I think. At least for me.
Yeah,
I think it's a funny joke. And I mean, I haven't seen them live. Have you seen them live?
No.
Oh. I've seen clips and shit, and it seems like it's a party, basically. They're having a party, you know, themselves together with the audience. And it looks, I mean, from the clips that I've seen, it looks fun, you know. It looks like they are,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's sort of like, you know, like five guys from the audience just jumped up on stage, you know, to play some instruments and having a fun time, you know, or whatever. That's the feeling I get. And yeah, I guess that's a good impression. Even though I don't like their stuff at all, I think their music is pretty... The only thing they have going for them is their funny lyrics. And I think otherwise, you know, musically is neither good nor bad. But
yeah, because definitely for a good impression of the band that I saw live, it's Maiden with all that production that they have on the stage. AC/DC, even I'm not a huge fan of AC/DC, they have a huge production that
definitely
is deserve to check. Well, unfortunately, since Malcolm is not anymore there, it's basically the half of the band is done. King Diamond, man, King Diamond, hell, they have a huge production that is great to see live.
I am not a huge fan, as you know, but I would really like to see Diamond live, because I've heard from you and from a bunch of other people that it's like, it's an experience in and of itself.
It's like you're on the theater, like Alice Cooper, for example, the same.
Yeah. By the way, have you seen Mr. Cooper live?
Three times.
Three times, yeah. How do you think about his presence, by the way? I mean,
it's a great man. I mean, I have like one album, I think. No, I have Thrush on the CD, and basically it's collecting dust in my shelf. But anytime when I have an opportunity to see Alice Cooper live, I'm going there, because I know it's gonna be a good theater.
Yeah. I saw him live at Sonisphere, I think it was 2011, 2010 maybe, and it was, I mean, I was a bit underwhelmed, because I've seen live clips and, you know, a lot before and whatever, but it seems like maybe I just came out at a, you know, at like a one-off concert, like a... He wasn't really feeling that well that day, because I thought it was kind of low energy and pretty boring, actually. I don't know if it was because it was on a festival stage or something. I don't know, but I wasn't too impressed. Or maybe it was because the rain was fucking pouring down and I hadn't really dressed properly for rain, so I was a little bit...
Yeah, and also depends again of the band. Sometimes they are trained if they're on the long-ass tour, like a couple of months on a tour, and that's one of the last show. It's normal they don't feel very well. And one more thing, Alice Cooper is not 20 years old.
No, and I mean, this was 10, 11 years ago, and he was older. But I don't know.
He was around 60.
Yeah, I mean, that's insane, really. But I mean, still, is he still around? Is he alive?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
And honestly, I'm not a huge fan of this band, but I can definitely say it's a lifetime experience. At least one time should go and see Kiss.
Really?
Yeah. Because I saw them 2008, and like I said, I'm not a huge Kiss fan, but man, the show was great. And especially because I bought the tickets, I was thinking I'm going to be... These tickets is for the front row because it was more expensive, but actually there was for the end of this stadium. And stadium, it wasn't... the stage wasn't like vertical or whatever, you know, to have the full capacity that is long, but they put horizontal the stage on the stadium, so you was a little bit near to the stage, and okay, you can see everything on this sitting place. And I was very happy because this type of show, it's better to check it from a little bit longer distance to see everything.
Okay, so it was like a stage in the middle, or am I getting it right?
It was on the horizontal side, you know.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, okay. I mean, that's okay. That's cool, I guess. But I don't know. Kiss. Oh man. I mean, you're probably right. It's probably an experience. I've heard so from people. It's just that I don't know. It's for me. I mean, Kiss. Nah.
And one other band that I don't like, but if I have opportunity to go and check, why not? That's Rammstein.
Ooh. Yeah.
I'm going to their concert with a sound canceling pads or headset, playing some music and just enjoying the pyro. That's it.
Fuck, man. When I when I went to Wacken open air in 2013, I think, Rammstein played there that year, and I remember that it was me, another friend of mine, and that was basically everyone that was left in the camp area, because everyone was fucking there, and it was basically me and three other guys. And it wasn't entirely empty, the camping area, but it was fucking close to being very empty. There must have been like, I swear to God, there must have been like 30,000 people going to the stage or something that day. Because there was around 70,000 people overall at Wacken that year. But I think, almost everyone must have gone to the festival area when they played. But I was like, nah. I don't feel it.
I mean, like I said, with a sound canceling earplugs or
but the thing headphones. Is, I don't dislike their music. That's not a problem. It's just, you know, I have a problem with the stage show. It's a little bit, what should I say? You know, when they pull out a big dildo and spray the audience with like foam, I'm like, what? and like having simulated sex on stage, and it's like I'm not really into like this BDSM sex club shit, so I mean keep it to yourself, but I'll stay in the camping area and listen.
Well, probably, you know, most of the show, because I don't know exactly what's happened. I know that they have a lot of pyro effects. That's what. That's why I was thinking to go.
Yeah, well...
Not about the sex games.
Yeah, well, I mean, they have that too. But, I mean, the thing is, you know, I don't think it's... I don't want to go through, like, you know, simulated sex acts for, like... 3 minutes to see like a bunch of explosions. I'm fine. I'm okay.
All right. And the other band that is good to see is the Kings of Metal, man.
Ah, Manowar. Or yeah. Is there another? I don't know. I think they've lost that crown recently.
Yeah.
But yeah, they've those. 3 times I've seen them. It's like we mentioned with the previous bands, it's an experience, especially on the, you know, decibel level. It's a fucking experience.
And because I saw them last time 2008 when they played the fucking world record for the longest show, it's definitely an experience.
Yeah, I mean, that shit, that must have been crazy being there. But one thing I'm thinking about is like, damn, how tired were they like the last half hour?
Or like, I don't know for them, but definitely Ryan was supposed to be, because he was playing at the support act as well.
I mean,
on the drums, you know, the drums is not easy instrument.
But no, definitely not. But I'm thinking about like Eric, you know, singing. He must have like had no fucking voice at the end of that set. I mean, come on. I mean,
but it was fucking great experience.
Yeah, I mean, it must have been it's sort of like one of those concerts, you know. You know, if you could be at any concert in any time and place, where would you be? And for me, that's like one of them. One of those concerts, you know, if I could.
I'm glad to be there.
Yeah.
But we speak mostly for the big band. And one of my greatest experience actually came from three bands that is not so big. They didn't have a huge stage show and whatever. I speak for the first time when I saw Onslaught.
All right.
Man, it was in a tiny tiny theater or whatever. Basically, if you go with around 300 people, it's going to be a can of sardines. But at this show, we was like 150 people. Old school, man, old school. It was like going back to the 80s, you see, because at that time, I was like, what, 18, 19 years old, and I wasn't so much familiar with all the people that there attempt to gigs, and I didn't know like 9% of the people there, but I saw old school, like now I'm going with a fucking straight jeans, high tops, and bullet belts, vest, and whatnot. And I was like, fuck yeah, man, is that fucking 80s or whatever? And the same it was with Exhumer and Savage Grace. Again, small place. And again, just old school. But now, when I went there at that point, because the gig was 2010, I already know most of the people that attend the gig. And it was the experience was amazing.
Yeah.
And the third band is SDI.
Oh yeah, we're talking about that that one that is up on YouTube, that live show, or is
yeah,
that's a great one. I come back to it quite a lot, actually. But I like that live video because it sort of makes you feel like you're there in a way, even though you're not.
Yeah.
So.
Especially for you, because how many times I spoke about that even before the gig, like months before I started to speak about SDI gig and whatever. And when I came back from Bulgaria, once again, I spoke for months. So basically, almost for a year, you just listened to me mumbling about SDI gig.
Yeah, and I would really like to see SDI in that kind of an environment. Because, you know, unfortunately, I wouldn't say unfortunately, I saw them at Musky Rock and they were fucking great. But, you know, it's not really that kind of... It's outdoors, you know. It's not really the same thing, you know, as in a small venue.
But once again, Muscle Rock is not the hugest festival in the world.
But there's still a distance, though, I would say. But, you know, I mean, details, but, you know.
Yeah, it's not that privacy that you have on the small club than you have at Muscle Rock, for example.
Yeah, exactly.
But still...
Excellent.
But still, imagine to see SDI for example, at Obscure Screen or whatever that Gorefest is in Czech Republic, because they played there, and you were watching SDI with another 20,000 people that they don't know what is SDI.
Yeah, that's kind of shit. Yeah, it's way better to have like small venues. Small venues and I mean small festivals as well, I would argue.
Yeah. Well, I think it's that time of the day that we need to cut it short.
Yeah, definitely. We managed to pull a show out of our ass today, and I'm impressed. But hopefully, you guys out there will enjoy it. I think they will, because. We had some subjects, a little bit of a mix of everything, but I think for the next show, I don't know when we'll do it, but we'll have something a little bit of more substance, because we are not out of ideas. It's just that both of us
out of time.
We just wanted to, you know, what should I say? We wanted to do something a little bit different this time, you know, taking it easy.
Yeah. So if you like what you hear, you can like us, subscribe us, follow us, and whatever in www.facebook.com/mailbrainfartpodcast or just mailbrainfart. It's gonna pop up anyway. If you want to throw some doors for the new equipment or the host to be drunk, down in the description you can find the link for that. Patreon, whatever. And even if you don't like us, you can tell to your enemy to listen, and he can basically waste 2 hours of his precious time listening to nonsense. So yeah, just spread the disease. And don't forget 25th for the people who live in Sweden, or even if you want to travel, 25th of December we're gonna make a live podcast at Club Frax Mangel. So it's gonna be fun. Eventually we're gonna have as well a band, but that's nothing 100% confirmed right now.
Alright, I didn't know about that. Cool.
Yeah, so I think that's everything for tonight.
Yeah, and
do you have something to add?
I have something, a little bit something. There will be an episode of Thundering Alone coming out, like I mentioned earlier. I'm going to do a review of Blood on Blood by Running Wild, so stay tuned for that.
Okay, and so stay tuned or be doomed. Ha 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 ha!